It's the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. Coming in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the NASA Lunar Science Institute podcast, which highlights the latest news and information of the Moon, on the Moon, and from the Moon. It's produced by the NASA Lunar Science Institute at the Ames Research Center in Moffett Field, California.
Have you ever looked up at the full moon on a clear night and wondered what it would be like to see it up close? Hi, this is Nancy Atkinson for the NASA Lunar Science Institute. With the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter mission, we're getting some of the best views ever of our next-door neighbor in space. And since its mission began in 2009, LRO has been sending back beautiful, high-resolution views of the lunar surface, thanks to the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter camera, or LROC. With us today to talk about the great images being taken by LROC is Lillian Ostrich, who's a science team associate for LROC, as well as the MESSENGER mission, and she's also a PhD candidate at Arizona State University. Hi, Lillian. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Nancy. Thank you for asking me.
Well, now, LROC is not just one camera, but it's a suite of instruments. Could you describe the different components that make up LROC?
Absolutely. So we have two narrow-angle cameras, or NACs, and they have a high resolution of around 0.5 meters per pixel to around 2 meters per pixel, and the resolution is dependent on the spacecraft altitude. The NACs are panchromatic, and so they take pictures of the lunar surface the way we would see it, and we have about 30 to 35% of the lunar surface imaged by our NAC cameras. Now, the other camera that's part of the LROC instrument is the wide-angle camera, or WAC. And that takes images at 100 meters per pixel over a much larger surface view. So think of the wide-angle camera as the context imager. And the WAC takes pictures in 7 color bands at different wavelengths so that we can look at the mineralogy of the surface. And the WAC, we actually have global coverage of the lunar surface, and every month we are able to make global maps with different illumination. And additionally, and this is a little bit of bonus, is that we have a sequence and compressor system, or SCS, and this SCS supports the camera. So when we think of LROC, we usually think of just the NACs and the WACs, but in order for us to actually transfer the commands from the LRO spacecraft to our cameras and then acquire the image data and receive the images back to the surface, we need this special system.
Like any mission, LRO has a set of mission objectives to meet. What are the science objectives for the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter camera? Or in other words, what types of things is the team trying to do with LROC?
So LROC has several science objectives of different priorities that are designed to meet specific objectives supporting future exploration and discovery of the moon. So two of the primary and high priority science objectives of LROC is to study the surface of the moon at a meter scale resolution of potential future landing sites. So looking at the trafficability of geologically exciting areas on the moon, as well as potential obstacles to landing. Additionally, a second high priority objective is to map the permanently shadowed and sunlit regions of the moon at both the WAC scale, 100 meters, and also at the meter scale. Now, on the moon at the poles, there are some regions that are almost always in shadow, while others are almost always in sunlight or always illuminated. And these regions may contain volatiles in the case of the permanently shadowed regions, whereas the potentially almost always illuminated regions may be great sites for future lunar bases and exploration. Now, there are a number of additional science objectives that LROC meets all the time. And we have studies that look at regolith properties and the global multispectral imaging of the WAC to map the lunar mineralogy, as I mentioned before. We also are very interested in determining the current impact rate by identifying new impact craters in the NAC images since the Apollo era. So how many impacts have occurred that we can see with the NAC over the last 40 years? Of course, there are many more scientific rationale that LROC data helps push forward, and this includes the chronology, which the previous podcast has spoken about, as well as crystal evolution, and as mentioned before, polar volatiles.
Okay. Well, I'm curious as to how the camera operations are done. For example, is LROC taking pictures constantly of whatever is in view, or are there specific targets that the team is shooting for?
So the first thing to understand about the LROC cameras is that, first, the cameras are not just a point and shoot, and we aren't streaming data back from the moon like a webcam. We have a dedicated science operations center that is fully staffed. And these individuals are responsible for targeting locations on the moon that are scientifically exciting and are high priority because, for example, they're the Apollo landing sites or the constellation regions of interest.
Okay.
Or they're simply regions of the moon that we haven't imaged at very good resolution before. There is a lag time between the image observation, when the cameras take the observation of the lunar surface, and then the acquisition on the ground. And that can be anywhere from around 8 hours to 24 hours. And the reason that that is because of orbital dynamics. So yes, Nancy, there are specific targets that the team shoots for. As I mentioned, the Apollo landing sites are particularly of interest. We have some amazing images of oblique views of the craters Tycho and Copernicus. And the targeting and the acquisition of these images is a team effort. We have an international science team that provides input, and we have the operations team who have some geological training to be able to identify locations on the moon that LROC should image. And we have a pretty big science team and staff here at ASU, around 30 to 40 people or more. And we're all supporting the targeting and acquisition and image processing of the instrument. And so, no, LROC is not constantly taking pictures of whatever's in view. However, the view of the lunar surface is being imaged continuously based on targets that are commanded to the instrument.
Okay. Oh, that's really fascinating. So how much data does LRO send back on a daily basis?
So, Nancy, that's a really great question. And as I mentioned before, we have about 30 to 35% of the moon covered with narrow-angle camera images. And we've got actually complete global coverage every month of the wide-angle camera. So that's about 29 different global views of the moon at different illuminations. On a daily basis, we receive or we image around 300 to 350 NAC observations and 200 to 250 WAC observations. And what that amounts to is around 40 to 45, maybe around 50 gigabytes per day.
Wow.
Wow is right. It's a lot of data. And in fact, 275 terabytes of LROC data have been released to the public via the Planetary Data System. And what does that mean? That means 255,000 WAC observations and around 586,000 NAC observations, in addition to special products. For example, narrow-angle camera digital terrain models, topography, and some color products.
Wow, that's a lot of data.
I know. Believe me, I know.
Well, usually a few times a week, your team posts images on the LROC website, and it features some of the latest views from the moon, and they're always just awesome and beautiful. And it always includes a lot of information about what's in the image, which camera took it, and it points out unusual features. So with all the images and data from LROC, how do you select which one goes on the website? There's just so much to choose from.
That is true, Nancy. And as I mentioned, everything that we do here at LROC is a team effort. And so we have a handful of people here at our facility at ASU working on featured images, as well as members of the science team. Now, the goal that we pursue with our featured images is to think about the moon as a place and a location to explore, because the moon is still the closest near-Earth object, and we've only explored a small part of it with the Apollo missions and the other robotic missions. Now, the featured images illustrate geological and scientific concepts in a quality product. We take time to explain key geologic concepts in a way that highlights how awesome and amazing the moon is to the general public and other scientists. When I write featured images, for example, I write them so that my mom, who isn't a scientist, can have a really great time looking at these images of the moon and say, wow. Now, the group of us responsible for writing the featured images pick these images just by looking through data. I can't tell you how many thousands of map images I've looked through. It would be impossible. But most of the time, I just simply sit there and click through the images and say, wow, that's amazing. I need to write a featured image on that. And we work together as the featured image writing team to identify some of the most engaging images. So we don't want to say, here's a picture of the moon and here's a fresh impact crater. Instead, we want to say, here's a picture of the lunar surface. This fresh impact crater is important to lunar scientists because, and then explain a geologic story so that the public can understand what we do as scientists and why LROC is really the definitive high-resolution image set for future human and robotic exploration of the moon.
Okay. Well, I know as a journalist that I really appreciate all the information that your team provides on the website. Well, this might be a tough question, but what are some of your personal favorite images from LROC?
Well, Nancy, I'd have to be honest and say all of them, but I know that you're looking for a little bit more detailed answer to your question, and I would have to say that some of my personal favorite images from LROC have actually been posted as featured images recently, and those are the Copernicus and Tycho crater oblique views. These images are acquired when the spacecraft rolls so that the cameras are looking at the craters kind of from the side. And these images are amazing. It makes me just want to go to the moon and explore. And I think that everyone who looks at these images feels the same way. Additionally, some of my other personal favorites are the Apollo landing site images, because we can see where the astronauts traversed, and we can understand now better the transcripts and where the samples came from, because we're able to more precisely locate exactly where the astronauts traversed. Ultimately, the moon is an absolutely fascinating place, and I really can't just pick one or two of my personal favorite images, because like I said, they are all fantastic.
Well, I highly encourage everyone to visit the LROC website to see firsthand the images showing the stark beauty of our moon. And the website can be found at lroc.asu.edu. Lillian, thanks so much for telling us more about your work with the LROC mission.
Thank you, Nancy. It was a pleasure.
To find out more about this topic, visit our website at www.lunarscience.nasa.gov. Any opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of NASA or the NASA Lunar Science Institute. This podcast is produced for educational and information purposes only. On behalf of the NASA Lunar Science Institute, thanks for listening.
This episode of 365 Days of Astronomy is sponsored by iTelescope.net, expanding your horizons in astronomy today. The premier on-demand telescope network at dark sky sites in Spain, New Mexico, and Siding Spring, Australia.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. Cool.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by Astrosphere New Media Association. Audio post-production by Preston Gibson. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this audio for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at 365daysofastronomy.org or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until tomorrow, goodbye.